Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
We're excited to start a new series called Grit. G-R-I-T. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some different things. The letter G, and this may extend out. We're not going to kind of hold it to 1 week or a four-week series. We're going to let it go where the Holy Spirit wants it to go. But the kind of where we're shifting is, we're talking about G would be, we're grounded. We need to be grounded. We need to have a firm foundation. We need to be knowing where we go, who we are, and who we serve. But R is relationships. Relationships with God. Our relationship with ourselves. Come on, somebody. We have, sometimes our own relationship is toxic with our own self. Is that right? And our relationship with other people. And we're going to be talking about identity, who and whose we are. And T, we're going to be talking about transformation, because that's what the Bible says. When you become a new creation in Christ, you're transformed into his likeness. But anybody see the True Grit movie? Hey, the only one is John Wayne. The other one was okay, but the Duke, man, he had it down. But all the young people were like, True Grit, what is he talking about? But it was a movie about a girl's dad. She gets murdered, a young girl, teenage girl. And she goes out, she wants to go out looking for the man that murdered her dad. So she goes out looking for this person to find him. And it was U.S. Marshal Rooster Cogburn. Come on, that's a good old country name, ain't it? And he's a one-eyed, unwashed, sandpapered, rough-shot old guy. But here, the part that she says to him in this thing, it really got to me, it says, she had heard that he was the right man for the job because he had true grit. The title of my message is, Do You Have Grit? The definition of grit is this: it's a firmness of mind and spirit, an unyielding courage in the face of hardships or danger. It means constant, it means backbone, it means to having some guts. But in psychology, grit is a positive trait based on a person's perseverance of effort combined with their passion for a particular long-term goal or end state. It's having a powerful motivation to achieve an objective. Can I tell you this morning, I believe that we're heading into some very uncertain times, not just in America, but in the world today. And this may be a little heavy for you this morning if you're first time, but you know, I really believe that we need to understand the times that we're living in. We need to understand the things that it may take for us to get to the next level, but it may take some real grit to get into these times that we're about to head into. Research says that lately some topics, maybe not preaching topics, maybe not the topics in the church, but on YouTube searches are this: death, judgment, the final destination of the soul, the signs of the time. These are some of the top people, the things that are being searched for. Heaven and hell and spiritual warfare. One of the reasons why people are asking more questions is because they're seeing the times that we're living in. They're seeing the world changing around us. And you know, if we were doing tea today, which we're not, we could be talking about a time of testing that is going to be happening on the church body. In America, there's murders, there's violent crimes, and Louisville had 141 homicides last year. It's the fifth time in a row they had 100 plus. We see racial division. I know this is going to be a little heavy this morning, but we see racial division on many fronts. We've seen political and culture. Our economy is a mess. Y'all pushing that grocery cart, seeing our economy is a mess today. In the world, we see wars, we see evil, we see the intensity and frequency of earthquakes and hurricanes. And Matthew 24 is talking about, Jesus called them birth pangs. Only the beginning. The earth is, there's a scripture that says the earth is groaning to see what's coming next. We see many questions out there right now. Is there a God? Where is God? Why would God allow this to happen? Can I tell you this morning, we are in true, sorry, my thing just went out. Help me, Jesus. One of the questions is there really a spiritual world? Is there really spiritual warfare? And you might ask this morning, why are we talking about all this stuff? Because first, you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't talk about it, you'll never know about it. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. You got to pay attention because what you don't know can hurt you. This morning, man, this thing, the devil is trying to mess with my iPad this morning. In the name of Jesus. That's the second time it's went out. Secondly, we don't talk about it because we're fearful. We don't like to talk about it. It's the most neglected thing in the church world. When you talk about spiritual warfare, two things happen. Either you overemphasize it, come on somebody, or you don't talk about it at all, or you underemphasize it. Some believers believe this: every sin, every conflict, every problem is the demonic. They're casting demons out of everything. Listen, I'm not trying to make light of this. There are some people I've been around that, I mean, you're just like, oh my, okay. But they discount personal accountability. Come on, they discount the things that have gotten them into that particular. It's not all the devil's fault all the time. Others completely ignore or they discard spiritual warfare, even though the Bible tells us that the battle is against spiritual powers. I believe to show grit and to wage successful spiritual warfare is to find some balance. Jesus sometimes cast demons out of people. Sometimes he just laid hands on them and healed them with no mention of the demonic. Real spiritual warfare is happening. We're all a part of it. You may even be feeling it because life can be shaky. Life can be hard. It can be uncertain. And our faith is taking a shake in the last probably year or two. And I believe that the time we're going into is going to really test our faith. Many are struggling with their mind, with their health, with their relationship, with stress and anxiety and fear. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For we are not fighting or wrestling in some versions against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." Sometimes you always can't see it. The enemy really is not physical. He wants you to believe that it's your spouse. It could be that woman you gave me, God. That man, oh my Lord Jesus, I have to put up with him early. He wants you to believe it's your spouse. He wants you to believe that it's your parents. He wants you to believe that it's your family or your friends. But it's usually not the person sitting next to you or standing next to you. It's a spiritual battle, and we have to distinguish who we're fighting. Can I tell you that God gave Adam authority in the garden? He gave him dominion in the garden. But Adam, with a bad choice, he relinquished his rights with a bad choice. I'm letting you know something this morning. You have a real enemy. Satan is called the ruler of the world. He's called the prince of the air. And look what 2 Corinthians 4:4 says. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." I like that. That's the little g God. See? He's maybe the God of this world, but he's not God. He's not big G God. He ain't the G. I had to get that in for G. But your enemy knows you. He has studied you. He gets an A+ for extra credit. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be sober, be serious, sensible." I added a bunch of other words. "Vigilant, careful watch. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour." He is real. Listen to what we've done. We've desensitized ourselves to who the enemy is. He's the little cute Halloween enemy he's the cute little devil that you put on your kids on Halloween. I'm not going to step on this toe, but I will. He is not the cute little devil. The television shows right now are just glorifying Lucifer. Remember that? He was a good guy. He was out to help everyone. Or he's that bad guy that sits on your shoulders telling you all to do all the bad things. But I'm going to let you know this morning, he's real and he's dead serious. He wants death, both physical and spiritual, to you. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy." Having grit is also being able to recognize what you see is not always what you get. Because 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no wonder life is hard. No wonder things are happening in your life. No wonder the world is the way it is. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. The devil comes in as an angel of light, and he likes to hide under the cover of light. Remember Adam and Eve? They looked at the tree, right? They saw it was pleasant. They saw it was good. They saw it was desirable. It's the same thing he's doing today. Don't you really want to be happy? Social media always tells you you're going to have a better life, right? Don't you want to be happy? Don't you want to have the best things in life? One time can't hurt you. Sometimes with addictions and things like that that are in the world today, one time can't hurt you. But he hides it under those things. Oh, well, you could try this and you could do this and you'll be okay. That friend really means well. Y'all got any of those? Not everybody has your back. Come on, you got to pick and choose who your friends are, and you have to trust God to send you the right ones, because not everybody has your back. It all looks good, but in Proverbs it says there's a way which appears to be right. There's a way that looks really, really good, but at the end of that, it leads to death. Bible also says sin, I know this is heavy this morning. If you're first time, hey, a Pentecostal preacher's about to come out here in just a minute. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. Come on, it was fun sinning out there for a while until it caught up with you, until it got to the place where it wasn't fun anymore. Anybody had that time? I got to the place where it just wasn't fun doing those things that I used to do. It's because I had the Holy Spirit tapping me on the shoulder saying, no. And we're going to talk about condemnation and conviction here in a couple of weeks. There's a difference between the two. But his plan has not changed. He's still using doubt. He's still using manipulation. He's still using intimidation and even condemnation. And listen, parents, adults, he's hiding in your movies. He's hiding in your books. He's hiding in those video games that you're, oh, help me, Jesus. Come on, there is so much stuff going on, right? It's so prevalent today to think about what our kids are watching, what our adults are watching. And every time I get a cringe, I see a movie come on and it's very demonic. It gives me goosebumps. I'm like, there's no way I would ever try to watch something like that. I remember there was a gentleman that used to do some exorcisms, and he told me a story about a guy that had been having some crazy stuff going on in his house. And if I told the story, I'm going to tell it again. Anyway, he was talking about something. He said, I don't know what his doors are shutting. I'm hearing noises. And he says, what's changed in the last little bit? He had purchased 4 video games. And he'd been playing these video games, and they were very, very, very dark video games, very demonic in their nature. And he said, that's the only thing you changed? He says, yeah, I've been getting to like extra levels and doing all of these things. This is drastic, but he said, let me have those video games. He took them out, burned them outside the house, prayed over the house. The guy never heard nothing else again. You got to be careful what you bring in your house. You got to be careful what goes in your goes into your mind and what you see, because it will. Hey, the devil's trying to hide it. He's hiding in plain view now, though. I mean, he ain't even trying to hide anymore. It's no secret the times that we're living in and the enemy that we're fighting. And here's what Jesus is explaining to the disciples. He's telling them that you're going to need some grit coming up in the time that you're going to see too. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, here, that's the good part, being in him, you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He tells them, he doesn't say you might have a little hard time, you might have a little tribulation. He says you will have tribulation. So you might ask, how can we increase our spiritual grit in the times that we're living in right now? James 4:7 says this, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit to God. Submit means to yield or to surrender to authority or give in to. Look what the world says about the last days in 2 Timothy. For men will be lovers of themselves, that's not submitting to God, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Our human nature is, Burger King slogan. Have it your way. Do it. It really bothered me one day. I went by Burger King out here and he says, are you tired of those other jobs where they rule? Come into our place where you rule. I'm like, what kind of message is that sending to someone in for a job? You can come to work anytime you want to. You can leave anytime you want to. You rule. You're in charge. But we live in such a society right now that it's very self-motivated. You can't tell me what to do, and if you do, I'm not going to do it. Our culture around us, most of our life goals are revolved around self-achievement and self-gratification. Control means we decide our destiny. We don't do what God wants us to do. Fear, we seize the opportunity now because if we don't grab it now, it may never come around. How many of us have thwarted God's plan in our own life by trying to do it ourselves? Trying not to listen to the direction he wanted us to go into, but we wanted to do it ourselves. And sometimes we just don't trust God. And we take security, we take measures into our own hands, and we don't rely on God. Why is submission hard? Disobedience is ingrained in us all the way back to the garden. Submission can't be something you do because you have to. It must be something you do because you want to. Come on, that changes everything. If you have to do it, most of the time, you tell a kid not to touch something, the first thing they're going to do is, well, I'm going to touch it. We tell an adult not to do something the first time they do, no, most of the time we're going to do it because that's what we want. Submission is what does it look like to submit to God? Luke 10:27. So he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. We have to submit our heart. Are we talking about the organ? No, we're talking about the inner part of ourselves, the inner person. The heart represents our moral conscience. It steers our values. It steers our choices. And when you get saved, you get a heart transplant. Gary got a physical heart transplant. But when you get saved, you get a heart transplant. Look what Ezekiel says. I will give you a new heart. And put a new spirit within you. I'll take that heart of stone. Come on, you know some people that have a heart of stone. Look what happens. Out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. We have to submit our soul. It says he breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul. The very breath of God. Here, you need to get up each day and take a deep breath and go, I have the breath of God inside of me. Come on, when you start changing the way that we start speaking, you have the breath, the very breath of God that he breathed into Adam. The soul is the part of what? That's eternal, and it defines who we are as individuals. Love the God with all your soul, with all your being. All our activities and our priorities in life should be geared around what God wants and what his ways are. Each day we have to yield and we have to submit. We have to submit our sinful tendencies. Come on, everybody have to do. It might have to repent every day. Oh, help me, Jesus. We have to submit our selfish motives, our shame, our pain. We have to submit our own expectations of what we want in our lives. Without submission, there can be no resistance. I think it takes some real grit to resist. Resist means to withstand, to strive against, or to oppose in some manner. Well, how can we do this? Resistance can be a defensive measure on our part. We're trying our very best. Most of the time, that doesn't work out, does it? We're trying the best to withstand and do the temptation and do the things that we want to do. But can I tell you, it really can't be done in your own self. It can't really be done in you. How many have tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed? Come on, everybody. Until you submit it over to God and say, God, this is the part that I need your help in. I need you each and every day to clean up my mind. I need you each and every day to clean up my mouth. I need you each and every day to clean. And the more you start submitting yourself to God, the less you will do that activity, I promise you. Resistance should be an action we take. Let's use our offensive weapon, which is the Word of God. We must be able to resist rebuke by knowing and confessing the Word of God. I'm going to say that again. We must be able to resist and rebuke him by knowing and confessing the Word of God. Sometimes you just got to get up. I told somebody this the other day. Sometimes you just got to get up and say, I have the mind of Christ. Even though I'm not thinking the way that I should be thinking right now, I have the mind of Christ. It's Jesus who lives in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes you just got to get a post-it note. You just got to get a verse, and you got to hold on to that thing every day. I said this earlier. It's not always the devil's fault. Sometimes our openness to him brings with sin and doubt and fear. We need to stop making excuses for our weaknesses and submitting to our temptations that lead us to sin. So many times we say it's always been this way, or this is all I know. But there has to be a time when there has to be a change of our heart, a change of our mind, a change of our spirit to say, God, I know it's always been this way, but I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to go this direction anymore. I don't want to think those thoughts anymore. And I'm telling you, the more you submit, the more you yield to the Holy Spirit, the more you give him over to you, you will start thinking differently. It takes a firm no. Sometimes in the wilderness, what did he do? He told the devil, no. He said, firmly, I'm not going to submit to what you want me to do. Sometimes it takes a firm no. Sometimes when those things are coming into your life, you just need to stomp your foot and say, no, devil, I'm not listening to you today. No, devil, you have no power over me because he lives inside of me. Resistance comes with being relentless. Remember Jacob, who later became Israel? He was a deceiver. He wasn't submitted to God, and he was resistant to God's plan. He tried it his own way. But one day, he wrestled with God. He gave in to God. I ask you a question. What have you been wrestling with God about? What have you been trying to hold on to that God's trying to pull out of your possession? What things in your life have you been wrestling with your whole life? And God says, hey, I want you to stop fighting against that and give it over to me. Jacob did this. He wrestled with God all night. And he said, God, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Come on. God had to put his hip out of joint to get him to let him go. I'm telling you, that's relentless right there. I think we need to have a relentless pursuit of God. We pursue everything else in the world, but if we start relentlessly pursuing God, we're going to start seeing action in our lives. He says, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Grit comes from our actions. James 4:8. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse and wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. He says, wash your hands. In the Old Testament, there was a temple, and most of the holy things were inside of the altar. The altar, the instruments, the ark. And there was a basin of water outside in the outer court of the temple, and the priests couldn't even enter until they had washed their hands and their feet. Let me tell you how, getting to that, how bad that was. If there was any sin whatsoever in the priest, they had to tie a rope around his leg, and he had to go in. If there was anything that he had done wrong, he would be dead. Aren't you glad we don't serve the God of the Old Testament? Jesus is so good. But the priest couldn't even enter until they had washed. They had signified they were cleansing the dirt, the sin, and their lives before entering. The priest had no access to the holy until they had washed. But here's what Jesus did. Jesus came, and it says when he said, it is finished, the veil was torn from top to bottom. We had access. The thing that had separated us from God, we now had access to. He gave us access to God. Remember what he said to the disciples? You will have tribulation. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. True grit is found with trusting in God, in believing that he's got a great plan for your life, and taking action in your life. No matter what they were going to go through, no matter what you're going to go through, we can have peace in him. You can walk into a room and change the atmosphere of the room just by the peace that you show around you. Maybe somebody you can walk in and they say, why do you have peace? I know where you've been. It's because I have Jesus inside of me. I carry him each and every day. I go with him every day. I travel and I'm in communion with God. How can you have peace when all hell is breaking loose? Because you have to get a position of in him. In him. You walk each and every day in Christ Jesus. That's a position we need to take very seriously as we get up each day. If y'all would, stand with me, please. I know that we're in a spiritual battle, and it's going to take some grit. But can I tell you this morning that grit is a choice? The Bible tells us that we need to choose a side. He said we're tossed around like waves to and fro. I think that the real choice is, let me back up. I think God is looking for us to make a choice. I think so many of us and so many people are, even in the Christian world right now, they're living with one foot here and living with another foot over here, and they're trying to balance that way, and it's just not working. God said, hey, I'd rather you be hot, or I'd rather you be cold. But because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. There's the time that we're living in, the grit time that we're living in right now is not a time for being lukewarm. It's about a time to being on fire for Jesus and being hot for him. This morning, God is asking us, he's calling us to a place, even in this fast, he's been calling me a place of repentance for some things I've been thinking in my mind and things that I know that I need to change in my own life. And I'm not saying I'm a hell-bound sinner, but there's things that I know that I need to do differently in 2025. And I think that repentance should be a lifestyle. Now, I don't mean you got to walk around all the time, Jesus, forgive me, Jesus, forgive me. It needs to be a lifestyle, though. It needs to be a part of knowing that when you hear that voice, when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, okay, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that, or maybe I shouldn't have thought that thought. I also think that we need to surrender ourselves. So many times, if you've ever been in trouble with the law, first thing to do is say, get your hands in the air. But that's a sign of surrender. I think God wants us to go from this place to this place. He wants us to go from this place of holding on to everything that we want to do, to a place of saying, God, I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to trust you in the journey. I'm going to trust you to take me where I need to go. I think surrendering ourselves during this time. Jesus didn't defeat Satan physically in warfare. He defeated him by surrendering himself and going to the cross. I think we got to quit focusing on the battle. We got to quit focusing on the devil. We got to quit focusing on the circumstances. We got to start focusing, make our focus on Jesus each day. And listen, maybe you've been going through something and you've lost your joy. We talked about joy during Christmas. Ask for restoration. Restore to me, God, Jesus, the joy of my salvation. I've been walking around with the cloud over me. I want to have restoration in my spirit again. Remember to thank him every day because he's been so good. He's been so faithful to you. This morning, if you don't know Jesus and you've never made him your Savior, I ask you this morning to give your heart over to him this morning. It's the best choice you could ever make. The part of coming to Jesus is acknowledging you're a sinner. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on that cross for me, and I believe that you shed your blood for my sins. Forgive me, Lord. I've made some mistakes. I've done some wrong things, and you can do this in your own words. I want to walk with you. I want to have communion with you. I want to know you at a personal level. This morning, if you made that decision, there's going to be people up on the right and the left to pray with you during this next song. But again, maybe you've been here this morning and you just need a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. You just need God to just do something. I've been having a rough time. This times I've been living in are pretty gritty right now. I'm tired of living my life one foot in, one foot out. Loving Jesus on Sunday. Oh, help me, Lord. This morning, it can be a time of change. These altars are open.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.